Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Lockdown Beers and Rugby Chat. As well, and you said Hash Rugby Chat. That's been a long time since we've done that show. But yes, there we go. In a new location, as you can see, you'll probably be able to hear my girls in the background at some point. But yeah, got the Waikato, got the beer ready for 5 o'clock on the dot when we can crack it open. Don't want to crack it open earlier. The good news, obviously, if you haven't already listened to the announcement, is that Auckland 09 is going down to level 3, so that will go down Tuesday or so tomorrow evening. Well done 09 at getting yourselves into a place where we can come down. So thank you for all sticking with the rules and continuing with that. Well done. We'll have a chat about that. We'll chat about the Farapama Cup because three teams have been pulled out from that. The Fiji Drua have announced their first 5 players, and I'm not going to do that, as well as what could the impact on the NPC be of those things. And joining me, but it looks like he's frozen. No, there he is Shane. How are you doing, sir?
Cool, how are you?
Good, thank you. Now, obviously you got your Wallabies scarf on there, so very happy with the results at the weekend?
Very, very happy, Paul. You know me from news on Twitter that I don't talk it up. We've still got 6 more tests to go, but to beat the world champions 2 times in a row and to bring the Mandela plate back to Rugby AU headquarters, where it belongs, is just, I hold the Mandela plate equal to the Bledisloe Cup. It's always a very tough test against South Africa, and we've had 2 of them, and just thrilled for them. We don't get too many thrills in Australian rugby these days, but to get that trophy back is great.
Cool. Now, the first beer, there we go. It's lockdown beers, folks. Stop working and start winding down for the end of the day. My recommendation. So yeah, so well done for Wallabies. Obviously, they've got the Pumas coming up this coming weekend, whilst the All Blacks will be taking on the Springboks in the 100th anniversary test match this coming Saturday. So obviously, we will be live straight after both those games with post-match reactions for both of those. Also, this coming weekend, I will be at a couple of games, both hosted by Bay of Plenty. Obviously, all the games in the 09, so Auckland, Counties Manukau, and also North Harbour, are obviously cancelled or postponed. Unfortunately, from a Farapama Cup point of view, those 3 teams have now basically been pulled out of the tournament with just this weekend being the last round of games. So what does that mean? Well, that means that we will have a final series, but the final series will be take the 3 teams, have a preliminary final and a final. So in the Premiership, that means that Canterbury will basically go through. I expect them to beat Otago this weekend, which will probably see them go through as champions straight to the final. Now, if Wellington Pride beat Bay of Plenty, then they will go through to the preliminary final against Waikato Women before going on, obviously, in the final after that. If they lose that game, then Waikato go straight through to the final in the Premiership. So that's how that's how that one's working. Down in the Championship, it's going to be Manawatu Cyclones, Northland, and Hawke's Bay. So it looks like Hawke's Bay, one round of games all to go. Hawke's Bay will travel up to Northland probably for the preliminary final to see who gets to go down to Palmerston North to take on Manawatu in for the promotion. Because this is the first time we'll have promotion and relegation, or first time we'll have relegation in the Farrah Palmer Cup. So it's all a bit of a mess, unfortunately, due to COVID. But I guess you guys over in Australia have been kind of used to this kind of thing happening.
Messes, certainly, just like my kitchen. But, yeah, look, we haven't had an NRC since 2019. Because of COVID and obviously a few other things, but good on the Kiwis for continuing on with the I think it's, what's it called again?
So we've got the Farrah Palmer Cup, which is the women's one, and then we've got the Bunnings NPC. Obviously, Bunnings are an Australian company that's sponsoring the National Provincial Championship over here. Let's say that's what's going on there in the NPC. I will be at the Bay of Plenty versus, or I'm planning, sorry, but I'm planning to be at the Bay of Plenty versus Wellington game in the Farrah Palmer Cup on Saturday, and I will be at the Bay of Plenty versus, who are they playing again, versus Taranaki on the Sunday. Definitely be at that one. The Saturday one is still, I need to get some confirmation first on that one. But so two games I'll be at this weekend, plus those, post-match Derby champion. For the, I just want to cover off on this, Stephen, and then we'll have a chat about what Pollard's been saying in the media in the Derby Championship. But in the NPC, folks, it looks like a quite big question mark is going to be, can Auckland, North Harbour and County Manukau get a business exemption to travel out of Auckland? If they do, then because they'll have missed rounds 3 and 4 definitely, which is last weekend and this coming weekend. If they get that exemption to get out, then they'll be basically available from round 5. So they'll have missed 2 games with 6 games left to go. So 6 rounds to make up those 2 games. Talk is they'll be based in Taupo. But there's also been talk that Auckland might be based out of Cambridge, I think. So we'll see where those teams go. But that's what they're trying to do, is try and get an exemption to travel outside of Auckland for level 3 and then stay out. If they can't, then it'll look like those 3, 4, 5, and 6 probably. So 4 games, and then have 4 games to catch up in just 3 weeks, which would be a lot to do. So I guess the NPC is really reliant on those teams being allowed out of Auckland and to base themselves probably in Taupo, as I say, but potentially also in potentially in Cambridge. So we'll have to see how that goes. Aaron says it's not a real competition without Auckland. Well, dearie me, he's showing his blood runs blue there, and not because of loyalty. Well, yeah, all North Harbour, all counties, Aaron. But I don't think he really cares about those two as much, I'll be honest. So, yeah, so we'll see what happens. I expect we'll get an announcement in the next couple of days as to whether those teams managed to get out of those locations and as well. They have to play 1 or 2 games midweek just to catch up the ones they've had already. So, look out for storm weeks in those. So that's kind of the local New Zealand news, folks. Oh, actually, no. That's the local New Zealand news. So, Shane, have you read Pollard's comments about Australia getting away with stuff off the ball?
No, I've read some social media comments of of some... let's say some angry Springbok supporters who are in the Rusty camp, I suppose, that are a bit upset about certain things that have happened over the last couple of games. Let me say, and I love the Springboks. I love the Springboks. I love when we play them because it's always a tough game. But it's getting a bit beyond a joke now, complaining all the time about referees. But I haven't seen Pollard's comments, so please elaborate for me.
Well, I've not read them either, but he mentioned something about how the Wallabies and the Elves, we're getting away with stuff off the ball. Now, I'll be... look, all teams do stuff off the ball. And I did see one tweet that really rang true to me, which was that this isn't a comment about what happened last weekend, really, and more so a comment about what the Box want the referee to look at in the coming weekend. Basically they want they're trying to point out by complaining about the Wallabies, they're trying to point out what the All Blacks do off the ball. There were a few comments that like, yeah, if you think the Wallabies get away with stuff, wait till you see what the All Blacks do. And then when this person pointed out they were actually thinking about the future rather than the past, ring true on that one. AK says, well done to the Wallabies and Shane. I'm not sure Shane did that much apart from watch it and enjoy it. LB says he's here for his apology. Now look, LB, I personally don't think I know you believe that the Box spread the ball a lot more and that they moved away from their game plan. I'm not so sure about that one. Apology not forthcoming because I still don't believe they changed their game plan that much in that game. It's all getting a bit silly, isn't it, as you said, that we're kind of playing around with the media, trying to influence or point out referees to look at. And it's not just the Springboks that do this, to be honest with you, folks. Obviously, a lot of the other coaches and stuff do it as well. But it does all seem to be getting a little bit silly, doesn't it, Shane?
Yeah, and I can remember times I used to complain about a certain number 7 who wore a Crusaders and All Blacks jumper doing certain things off the ball, and it cost him cost his team a Super Rugby title, if I remember, to this side. I think he cost his team another game against the Waratahs a year later when he got yellow carded. Everybody knows I love Richie as well. What a wonderful player he was. But look, I watched the first few minutes of Russie's video the other day, and I've got to say again, you know me, Paul, I respect people that have done great things in rugby, but you can't complain and complain and complain. How many times have us Wallabies fans complained about our own performances? Or I don't complain about referees anymore because I don't think there's a point to it. I think you just move on to the next test match and prove yourself with your skill levels. And, what better way to prove it against the All Blacks next week in Townsville with the centenary test?
Yep. And look, LB says here, look, the rest of the world stopped banging on. You're right. Look, I say all teams make comments about the about refs. It just feels like over the last few months, it's always got a bit too silly from a lot of people there. And he's quite right. This is a championship team, but it is a team that looks to basically have run out of steam from my point of view, is what I said yesterday. And I think they are going to have to switch things up for the next game. Which is going to be interesting to see how they do use that depth. Also, I think it's also key that Razzie isn't there, and I do see him as being their kind of motivational leader of that team when we've seen those videos he's put out. And him not being in Australia is also a big part of it as well, perhaps of them not looking up. I mean, to say they're not up for the game, I think is unfair. They're obviously trying, but I just think they're mentally tired. If not physically tired at the moment.
Can I say, Paul, that we shouldn't forget either that the Springboks didn't play Test rugby last year, and they started very late with the Super Rugby unlocked series, and that's probably affected maybe some rust on international wise. However, they did beat the Lions, I know. And maybe that's taken a lot out of them as well, physically, because everybody knows when you play a test series against the British and Irish Lions, they go to a Southern Hemisphere nation. It's not backline running, it's forwards. I just think that maybe Springboks have got to find that balance right, as well as, you know, they've got very good kicking game, but maybe they should run the ball a little bit more, maybe not do two phases then kick. That works against the British and Irish Lions, but they need to build up their phase play and their confidence from there, I think, as well.
Yeah, look, there's definitely I just think that I think emotionally they're not or mentally I think they're tired. I think is cause, and we saw that at the Rugby World Cup as well. Look, the All Blacks got up for the Ireland game in the quarter final, and then struggled to get up again for the England game. England really got up for the All Blacks and then struggled to get up for the final. Whereas the Springboks didn't have quite such a big a big game heading up to that final. But anyway, yeah, I think those games do take a lot out of you mentally. Getting up for a game and then having to get yourself back up for another game, I think takes a lot of work in that one. So that's sort of that part of it. LB requisite, yeah, Pollard needs to be benched. Delende could be benched too, as well. Mapimpi also could have a rest. Vermeulen should come off the bench. He's only just come back from injury. And Mostert, well, I think Mostert needs to start in the row and not in the blind side, not in that seven jersey, because the South Africa use their seven jerseys as their blind side, not their open side, unlike the rest of the world. So I think there needs to be a change there in that one. Simon says, Shane, strange one for a Reds fan to be wearing a Waratahs jersey. Yeah, good point. What are you wearing a Waratahs jersey for?
Okay, there's a story behind this. I love going to the op shops that we have around Tamworth, and I love the, you know, because it's part of the community, and it's there was about and then I was looking around at all the shirts, and I saw a Waratahs jumper in there, and I was like, how much is it? It's $5. So I said, well, it's I might as well have it as a bit of a token gift as a Reds fan. It's actually a Super 12.
Oh, wow. Super 12, so going back, it's vintage, practically.
So it's got the HSBC sponsor there, and I've got to say, it's pretty comfortable.
Very good. Very good. LB says, yeah, a Reds fan wearing a Tars jersey, a sight he thought he'd never see. You'll see me wearing all sorts of jerseys. That's something. And talking about Australia, so Stephen Harris here, using the New Zealand Sports Radio tag, but he talked about Raylene Castle, about how, look, obviously she took a lot of flack at the time, but a couple of her legacies have been obviously there as a head coach, and also forcing the broadcast change from Fox to Stan. I mean, those are two really good legacies of her time, pretty short time as CEO of Rugby Australia, aren't they?
It's interesting, Steve and Paul. I actually opposed both the broadcast changes and Rennie's appointment.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think I reluctantly accepted it because there was no alternative coach in the end. I must admit that I wanted Rugby Australia and Eddie Jones to make their peace and to break the bank to bring Eddie Jones home if they couldn't get Jake White. I must admit that I was pretty and still am loyal to Fox Sports with their rugby league. But I think that the Stan Sport AU have done an excellent job, and Channel 9 is a free-to-air broadcaster. I think Dave Rennie has done well. With the appointment of Dave Rennie, there was also the year before, and I'll give Raylene Castle this huge credit. She bought Scott Johnson, who was the director of rugby in Scotland, back home to Australia. And he has used his influence and his networks to bring Wise Mantle back from England, who was a Wallabies assistant coach before he went to England, and has brought Matt Taylor back from Scotland as our defence coach. So the appointment of Scott Johnson is... I've got to give Scott a lot of credit as well as Dave Rennie, so, and Raylene Castle, and maybe, just maybe, we've looked at so many negatives at Australian rugby, and it was never as people, as individuals, it was more the, what they were offering. And maybe we're starting to see some of those steps being proven right. So well done, Raylene, and all the best in what you're doing now. And I think you can see that it's bearing some fruit.
Yeah, she's head of New Zealand Sport now, over here in over here in New Zealand. So yeah, in a much more not a very public role. In all honesty, we see occasional bits of about what she's doing in the paper, but very rarely. It's not the same as your head of, CEO of New Zealand Rugby or Rugby Australia. It's a much more low key role. That's where she is now. So and he says, yeah, it's with the scrum coach of the Wallabies as well. Yeah, I mean, the words on the whole, the South Africa scrum was stronger, but the Wallabies definitely had some techniques in there which they could switch things up and go, right, we're going to win this scrum. And there were specific scrums which they targeted to win, and they did really well, particularly around the end of the first and second half of that first test. But also in the second test as well, there were times when they're definitely playing some sort of rock paper scissors kind of thing. If we do this, we'll win. If we do that, and so yeah, there's a lot of going on in the scrum that we don't understand. Or I don't understand. I'll be blunt, but clearly there was stuff going on there. So looking forward to Super Rugby Pacific, which will be basically Super Rugby 12s again, or at least 12 teams. That you've gone there, and we also have two new teams in Moana Pacifica and also Fiji Drua, and we have our first five players that have been announced now by the Fiji Drua. So let's just run through those, and a bit like as a Wallaby or as an All Black, you get given you are All Black number XYZ, All Black number 155 or however many there have been. You have got set some, they're going to do the same thing as for the Fiji Drua. So Fiji Drua number one, and he will always be number one, is Napoleone Bolaka, who is a 24 and a utility back, gold medalist at the Tokyo Olympics. And so he Fiji Drua number one. And number two is Taviti Kanave, who is a hooker, has got a couple of caps for Fiji Warriors, has played in the NRC for the Drua as well, and is part of the Flying Fijians, the national team, obviously. Number three is Onzi Retave, who stepped up for Bay of Plenty and scored a couple of cracking tries this weekend. Has been part of the Sevens squad and also the Flying Fijians squad as well. I don't think he's capped yet, but really did have a cracking game this coming weekend. I'm sorry about butchering the names. I am doing my best, I promise you. We've then got Nemani Ngusa, who is a back rower. He'll be number four. Again, another 18 caps. He's in there. And finally, Simone Kuruvoli is the halfback or scrum half in European terms, who's a Fijian under 20 and also got two caps for the national team. So picking up a few players there who've got national caps and also or sevens caps. So some quality operators that they've got there, Shane.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I obviously am Indo-Fijian on my mother's side, so I'm really excited to see some Fiji flavour and the Moana Pacifica as well. I cannot wait to see them play each other, to be honest. That'll be my highlight for the next year's Super Rugby season. I just can't wait to see what the Drua will bring. Because I think that'll be, no matter win, loss or draw, they're just going to run you ragged with the ball, which always brings excitement to any rugby fan watching anywhere around the world. And they've obviously built a list that is going to be helping the depth and the playing pool for Fiji rugby with their national side. So it's win-win. And can I just make one observational comment, Paul, that it is so good, finally, and as much as we loved the old Super Rugby system up until about 6 years ago or so, and I did, it is so refreshing to have Australian sides, New Zealand sides and Pacific Island sides form a competition, and hopefully we can involve Japan as the years go by and have about a 14 team comp, but to be honest, time zones and games are going to be played in time zones that we're going to actually really enjoy now.
I think Japan's setting up their own professional league currently, so I think Super Rugby has missed the boat in expanding into Japan. Obviously it tried it semi with the Sunwolves, they never didn't really give it the proper backing and support that it needed to make that work. So, I think that boat's gone. What we might see is a champion of the Japan League, champion of Super Rugby, having sort of a final playoff. Then I think that will be that'll be how it will kind of how we might involve Japan in things. But I don't think I don't think getting a couple of teams in Super Rugby is likely to happen. I've been proven wrong before, very rarely, obviously, because I'm just so Mr. Right. But that's how I kind of see things. There was an hour-long press media kind of release from the Fijian Drua. I kind of condense that down to 9 minutes. So there is a, if you are a supporter of NZ Sport Radio, you can go over and listen to that. It's if you go to patreon.com/NZ Sport Radio, you can become a supporter of New Zealand Sport Radio. It's a podcast or a video, up to you how you want to, if you want to listen or watch. But I kind of run through the things that they're doing, such as where they're going to be based next year, and also how they've gone about their recruitment as well, and what their targets are, because they've got some really ambitious targets in year one. And LB says, do you think more international Fiji players will join Super Rugby now? Would be good for them to play and together. Look, in the whole point of, or not the whole point, but a big point of the Fiji and Drua and Moana Pacifica is to give the island people, the island players, sorry, an opportunity to play locally and also represent their country. So do I see some of the Fijian players coming back? Absolutely, I do. Are they going to get paid what they can get paid in Europe? No. Just like we lose various players, various Wallabies leave and head overseas, as do some All Blacks as well. Look, they won't get their entire squad available, but they will get more of them available. The ones that are prepared for a lifestyle choice to be closer to home, but take less money. So that's kind of what it's going to be a call for on the players. That was some of the Wallaby players as well. More recent, especially around COVID, we've seen players coming back. James O'Connor, Matt Tamua, these kind of players could earn big money overseas, but have decided for a lifestyle choice to take a pay cut and play in Australia. Look, there is a yes. I do think more players will do, but I don't think it, I think there'll be players like Simi Radrava, etc. Will probably stay overseas where they can earn twice, maybe 10 times as much money as they can for the Fiji Drua or in Super Rugby. And if anyone's wondering, yeah, the Fiji and Drua, I think, are looking at paying salaries that are at Super Rugby level. Not a global level, not going to compete with Japan or France. But then again, New Zealand rugby doesn't, and the Wallabies don't either. So Australia, so you wouldn't expect them to. You expect them to pay at levels, really. So yeah. Simon said, yeah, look, we've got establishing professional rugby competitions in every continent in the world. Yep, we are now. We've also got Major League Rugby in the States. Again, that's a level, that's probably an MPC. Or NRL, or what used to be the National Rugby Championship in Australia level. So that's got a long way to grow yet to be competitive with some of the other ones. The one in South America, the Premier League of South America, I think it is, something like that. Again, it's perhaps a level lower as well. Those ones need to take time to grow. And I guess Asia or Southeast Asia is the space is yet to decide, and we'll see. Global Rapid Rugby was supposed to go in that space, Shane. But and by the way, folks, I had an interview with the CEO of. Sorry,
was it Tony Lewis?
Thank you. Yeah, Tony Lewis, the CEO of Western Force, where he talks about what Rapid Rugby could do potentially in the future. So have a listen to that one if you like. Super Rugby has to get a proper TV network in the UK and Ireland. I don't think it does. It's a local competition. I'm not sure. I mean, how many people in New Zealand follow the Gallagher Premiership or the top 14, really? Not very many. I don't think you would get much of an audience over there, to be honest with you. And LB asks, is New Zealand Rugby financing the Fiji Drua? No, put bluntly. The Fijian Drua is getting some support from the Australian government, but not from New Zealand Rugby. And more details on that are around the financing of the Fijian Drua is in the supporter special interview, supporter special piece I did on Fijian Drua. But no, New Zealand Rugby is not financed, and it's not the Moana Pacifica either. Really has some. Some things. Surely Western Force can put out a strong team with all the Sappers in Western Australia. Oh, ouch. LB, now. But to be fair, Western Australia, well, so the Western Force is looking at producing a lot more local players in their squad, and that's happening next season. They're going to have a very different squad next season. And Shane, that's really what we want to see from teams like the Western Force, the Reds, etc., is bringing through local players, isn't it?
It is. And I do note the other day that a lot of the senior Western Force players, like Jeremy Thrush, and very, you know, someone that's an All Black, and they're going out and they're helping the academy players and with their training and their weights and things like that. And Western Force have done well within the community to say we are for Western Australia and for Western Australians. And I know Western Australians, mate. They are for that state and very
it's
proud
a separate
of
country,
it.
Isn't it.
Sorry?
It's a separate country, isn't it?
I think they like to think so, but they're proudly Aussie as well, I can tell you, and good people. The Reds have got the Reds Academy as well, and you can see a lot of young talent coming through. Brad Thorne's pushed that for the last few years with his side. You can see how well he's done with a younger list. He's finished runners-up 1 year, finished premiers the next. Make no mistake, I think the Reds will probably be one of the sides to watch in Super Rugby next year, as will the Force.
Yeah. I think the Force will take some growing because they are losing three of their Argentinian players. Thrush has and Olafloa and also Rob Kearney as well. So there's a number of internationals, a lot of experience that are going to be losing next year, but they are bringing through some youngsters and Australian players. Players like Thrush has been around apparently in Western Australia for about 6 years now. As you say, he is part of the rugby community there, as is Kahui. And they're getting involved in coaching as well as playing as well. So those sort of players are going to be around, but other players will have moved on. As I say, Tony Lewis covered off the other day. Just around, and I'm about to run out of time on my data clock because I'm not at home, as you can tell. So I'm running on data. So sorry if the link has been a bit dodgy today, not had the fiber that we normally do. Normal service should resume tomorrow. Folks, in that one. Is Super Rugby going to be held in New Zealand or Australia? Well, the idea, hopefully, we have a travel bubble, so it's held in both. So it's not going to be held in one or the other, is the idea next year. But hopefully, we have a travel bubble. But hey, there's a whole lot of water to flow under the bridge before we get to that stage from a COVID point of view, folks. Talking of COVID, this is the lockdown beers. Which we've been doing through lockdown. We'll continue at level three, folks, for those of you in Auckland. In Auckland. And thank you, folks, for all the positive work you guys have been doing about getting yourselves vaccinated, about following the rules. And let's allow you to come down to level three tomorrow night, which is great to see that we're moving in the right direction from that point. Shane, thank you very much for joining me. Again, it's wonderful having you on over from Australia, and great to see you in that yellow scarf. It's just looks beautiful on you, sir. And thank you everyone who's joined us in the live chat. And don't forget, please, folks, do become a supporter of New Zealand Sport Radio. I was the only person at FMG Stadium for Waikato versus Canterbury. There was no other media. There was obviously Sky and the radio who were doing radio commentary, but everyone else wasn't there. There was no other paper media there. I was also the only person, apart from Sky, at Bay of Plenty versus Otago for the Farrow Palmer Cup. We really could use your support to keep that going. Patreon.com/NZSportRadio to help me do that for you, folks. Thank you, LB. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Stephen, and everyone else who has been in AK as well, who's been in the live chat.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Catch you all tomorrow at 5 p.m.